Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Broadcasting from the Shaw's Star Market Studios, the home of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier, afternoons 2 to 6. This is Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence, Boston.
An Odyssey station.
The Supreme Court unanimously ruling against the NCAA this morning. The court saying that limits on certain education-related benefits, like laptops, for instance, for Division I football and basketball players, are unenforceable. And it's seen as the biggest defeat for the NCAA since a ruling back in 1984 allowing schools to monetize TV rights.
Well, it's a colossal loss for the NCAA. Justice Kavanaugh wrote something that I think a lot of us have been saying for a long time. If you applied this to any other industry, it would be per se illegal and struck down immediately.
The NCAA can still implement something, you want to call it the no Lamborghini rule, I think is what Kavanaugh referred to it as. So they're trying to keep this in the box a little bit.
Paul Feinbaum, your reaction.
Greeny, I know you're a big R.E.M. fan in the 90s. They had the famous song, It's the End of the World as We Know It. This is the end of the NCAA as we know it. The funeral hasn't happened yet. The last rites have not been uttered. But it's over for the NCAA. It won't happen tomorrow. Won't happen next week. But the next lawsuit will bury the NCAA.
It's the end of the world as we know it.
I am so enjoying this Supreme Court ruling yesterday, because it really basically calls out the NCAA, who are hypocrites, frauds, over the years have made billions of dollars off of these amateur athletes. And I'm not, again,
well, schools have.
I'm just shocked it was 9-0. I don't think anything was unanimous any day.
Yeah,
anymore.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean?
That is a good point.
Everything's sort of political.
Yes, and you would think it'd be a 5-4 ruling, and you're right. It was 9-0. And obviously, the image and likeness is kind of separate from this, but we know what's going to happen there. The great athletes, the great basketball players, and certainly the great football players, maybe not the smaller sports, those people are going to be able to use their likeness right now and are going to make an awful lot of money.
But that's been colleges. There. That was there last year.
Well, it goes into effect July
1st. But that only ruling, like, they won that ruling last year. Goes into effect.
Only in a few states.
But
Texas.
Florida.
But here's where this one.
Nevada was a weird one.
I think you called it a slippery slope this morning, Lou. And it's exactly what it is. So what they did is they basically ruled that the NCAA cannot prevent universities from giving, listen to this quote, education-related benefits such as computers, instruments, or internships
paid.
To student-athlete. Paid internships.
Paid internships.
So you could be, you're an athlete, you, Christian, we're going to give you a paid internship.
Ooh,
what am I
going to do?
You have to work 30 minutes a day, and we want you to guard the lunchroom and see if anybody's overeating in there.
I can turn the sprinklers on.
No, you can't do that. But we're going to give you
that'd be too much.
We're going to give you a lot of money, $50,000 to do that. $50,000.
Really?
Damn, paid
that's pretty
internship.
Good. I'm in.
I heard those guys.
I'll sign.
And like, you know, Wiggy just kept talking about this, you know, NIL, right? Name, image, likeness. And this thing here didn't address it at all.
No, didn't.
No, and like you said, paid internships, like educational-based money, whatever, paid out. Like, it's these guys right now, they find so many damn loopholes to try to pay some of these athletes or give them some kind of benefits, because their salary, their careers, their livelihood depends on who comes to their school. And it's just right, men's and women's basketball and College Bowl football programs. Like, that's it. That's it. That's what I think what it's for.
Right.
To think that they're not going to find loopholes, whether it is, like you said, paid internships. How much money are we going to get? You're going to work in the CAF, but don't worry, you don't have to go. you know, we're going to just punch you in like you've been working there. Whatever. Anything. You're my assistant.
Act like you learned something.
Everyone's the assistant to the coach. Whatever. They're going to help out in certain activities. Or like educational-based cash. Like, so what? If you have like a 3.0 average, we're going to give you 50 grand. And oh, by the way, don't worry about it. We're going to guarantee you a 3.0 at grade average.
You really could get a 2.0. We're like, going to save the 3.0.
Like, we'll add one.
This isn't going to turn shadier than it already is?
No, and even more so, for an example, if you come up with a paid internship for a student, let's say they're a business major, and you know where your paid internship is going to be? It's going to be with John Blake, who happens to be a big booster of the university, right, who has this unbelievable new software company. You're going to go over there and get a paid internship. And now you're going to be able to get the boosters.
Yeah.
Infiltrating money into the system.
So first of all, the summer jobs program that used to exist, like, it's really hard for guys to have time anymore because they completely monopolize your free time. Like, if you're a student athlete, like if you're a football player specifically, you just don't have any free time. They put you in summer school, they put you in a weight program, then they have these things now. They call them, like, you know, like for my son, it's like a football school. It's like a unique way of them getting more time to kind of stick you in a classroom or to watch film. Football school, you don't get paid for it. So you're 100% right. So not only are we trying to do, like, to remove players from boosters, now we're going to put them right in the middle of their organization or their business. And all you have to do is make sure the sprinklers are on. That was one of my brother's jobs.
Was it?
Yeah, he had a boost say. Just drive by.
They were on a timer, though, right?
Yeah. They were. He just had to drive by and make sure the sprinklers were going. He got, like, it was like $20 an hour.
From,
like, 1986.
Like the Sahara Desert.
It was, like, it was amazing. this is such a. So what the NCAA is doing is saying, no big deal, no big deal. We're gonna make sure the language is clean to make sure there's Lamborghini rule isn't in effect.
Right.
So you can't, you know, backdoor us and find a way, Alabama, to get these guys a new car. Like, first of all, nothing's going to change. All the big schools with all the money are going to be the ones benefiting from it.
Yeah,
everything is recruiting with these big schools. And we're only, again, talking about the big sports, which would be football and basketball. So they are run on recruiting. So absolutely, they're going to go out and get the best players. Now, is it going to trickle down to the rest of the entire roster of a football team? No,
no,
it will not. Same thing with the basketball team. You'll have a couple of players that'll be making all sorts of money.
There's six states with the pending NILs, right? Name, image, likeness. So you're talking about guys that can go out and, I'm guessing, like, do autographs, right? Things like this.
$100,000.
Okay,
appearances.
So sure. Appearances, everything else. They're
commercials for
it.
A car dealership.
So you tell me, Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Texas, Mississippi, and New Mexico.
Why didn't they pick the football factory?
So the six
Why
states.
Why didn't they do that?
And I will guarantee you, New Mexico will all of
the
a
Lobos?
Sudden have a better football team and a men's basketball team, a women's basketball
team. Basketball team
maybe same thing with Ole Miss and Mississippi State. Because these kids, I mean, how do you not? If you're sitting there choosing between, like, Ole Miss and I don't know, North Carolina, UNC, and they're sitting there saying, listen, you can come here and do NILs. Like, you come here, we can do, you know, we'll arrange some autograph sessions for you. Number one, big recruit. You know, we'll do all these different things, you know, all your likeness, and you make some extra cash. Like, if you're a kid, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Where are you going?
It'd be so stupid. States that will follow, that will be right behind, will be
Massachusetts.
No.
California.
No.
What?
No.
What?
No. Be last.
What do you mean?
They'll be last.
You don't think BC? No?
No. Any team, Missouri.
hold on.
Any team that has a Southeastern Conference team associated in that state. That team, South Carolina.
You don't think that that Massachusetts would open up the door so that
Tennessee,
a BC linebacker could go and sign autographs at a Sullivan Tire in Norwood for 3 hours on a Saturday?
Here's how it could help Harvard. You suck at football. Nobody, you can't get anybody
they
in
don't
there.
Need football.
Okay, but suddenly you're telling me some big
bowl
biotech
eligible, are they?
Some, I don't think so. But some biotech company, some higher learning says, oh, hey, listen, I'm going to give you an internship. You can go to Harvard. I'll get you in, all right, because you're good and you're smart. But you wanted to go to Stanford. You wanted to go to UCLA, a Cal maybe, because it's the Pac-12. No. Come here. I'll guarantee you $150,000 a year, and you play for Harvard. Harvard doesn't give any scholarships. You're getting financial aid, quote, in financial aid.
He says, Alabama's offering me $500,000. What are you going to do?
Yeah, but you got it. But here's what you got. You got an Alabama education. That's the certificate that you have.
Harvard does have like a $65 billion endowment,
think,
right?
I'm telling you.
So it's all football subdivision. Right, it's only football subdivision, so the Ivy League isn't going to count.
Well, the other one, thing that comes up is like, you know, the Title IX. I mean, is this like, you know,
it's going to be a big deal
financially? Is like guys all, you know, and the basketball programs are getting paid, or the women's teams getting paid, you know, the same amounts?
But not everybody's going to get paid.
This is all about hidden cash, in my opinion.
No, but wait, why wouldn't if you're UConn women's basketball, you're Stanford basketball, you're South Carolina basketball, women's Tennessee.
They will have some.
Their girls are going to get paid more than the football players.
They will have some paid internships at those schools. You're right. But it all comes down to the revenue that the school is taking in.
And where does that come from?
It comes from people who pay to go to TV, TV revenue.
It comes from bowls, and it comes from
sponsorship.
That's where the money comes from.
Well, I thought that Brett Kavanaugh, the justice, really was destroying their business model. Said the NCAA couches its arguments for not paying student athletes in innocuous labels, but the labels cannot disguise the reality. The NCAA's business model would be flatly illegal in almost any other industry in America.
That's true.
And he's right.
I mean, they make money on, you know, the football programs. You know, the players themselves,
who
because they succeed. The coach is making $10 million. The players get a free education. And there's no question that there's value in that. I know people are always going to call up, oh, they get a free education, they should be happy. Okay. You know, I understand.
But this isn't even
that.
About that.
That's like a given for some of these guys at this level. Schools have 80 scholarships to give out. They're going to get free rides. You know what I mean? But still, it's like, okay, we're going to give you the money. It's a lot of money. Don't get me wrong. But they're going to get it no matter where they go.
Yeah, but this is about amateurism. This is about amateur status. If you want to, the skier, Jeremy Bloom, okay, was a skier,
odd
a football
reference.
Player.
Okay.
He was a football player
okay.
at Colorado, was also an Olympic skier. And he wanted to join the Olympics, right? And there was a whole thing with the NCAA. They wouldn't let him do it. They were going to give up. He had to give up the ability to play football on scholarship. It was amazing.
Oh, my
so
God.
What the NCAA is sitting there going, okay, listen, you're amateurs. You shouldn't be able to make money like the rest of us. Like, you're on scholarship. So you can't get extracurricular activity. You can't go to signings. You can't go to appearances because now you're not an amateur. Now somebody's paying you for your services.
You can't be sponsored by Nike with the Olympic team or whatever
it
is.
Yeah, you
Adidas.
Can't be sponsored so someone pays for your skis and your lift tickets. So this has nothing to do with, you know, schools paying players. Like, that is a something that they will eventually maybe get to, but even then I don't think so. This is simple. This is easy. I'm going to make some extra cash. I'm going to go to, you know, Applebee's. And, like, sign autographs for, you know, 20 minutes through 30 minutes. Who knows? Like, why can't I get paid?
I repeat, I laugh at the NCAA because they are such hypocrites. Some of the rulings we've had over the years where a student has gotten money to go to a grandfather's funeral. I mean, it's laughable, some of the stuff they're doing. And they're holding on right now for dear life looking at this ruling yesterday. Like, this ruling has totally destroyed them. Well, now you're going to have to deal a little bit differently. And I agree that an education is worth an awful lot of money, but you're not telling me that some of the stars that have come out of football and basketball, that they haven't contributed more than, let's say, $300,000?
Here's the thing. So this is a loophole, okay? This is an excellent loophole. So Ryan just brings up Cameo. I go on Cameo. I set my price at $5,000.
Wow.
Some booster.
It's more than Dale Arnold.
Oh, some booster says, set it at $5,000. I'll pay it.
Once a week.
You know what? I'll set it at $10,000. What is the NCAA going to sit there and say, no, you can only offer, it can only be $250? Like, there are so many freaking loopholes.
Well, and they wanted me to wish you happy Chinooka.
And I mean, they have those loopholes now. Yeah, a lot of it is illegal.
That's
now,
the first thing
sudden,
I would do.
Some of it is kind of like gray area legal. Right? Paid
There's so
internships,
many problems,
so Tyler's, cameos, Tyler's, appearances.
Yeah, Tyler's bringing up an interesting point. Like in the state of Georgia, though, you have to siphon 75% of that money back and kind of share it with everybody.
Who?
In the state of Georgia.
Yeah, in Georgia, they're allowing schools to pull up the entire endorsement money from the athletes and redistribute it up to 75%.
Socialism.
Wait, so you're telling me, so I get, I'm a star quarterback. I bring in all the money, and that money goes into a pool where it's divide it by all the other guys who aren't doing anything?
Give it to the big old fat guard. No, give it to the big old fat guard.
Yeah, I'm not doing it.
Christian, the value created by the star quarterback now goes to the kicker.
No, that's not going to last. That's a low blow. That's not going to last. I love the cameo idea. If you want to make some easy cash that's legal.
What if I want an OnlyFans?
Go ahead. Take your clothes off. Get naked.
I got to. The bill in Texas bans alcohol, tobacco, or gambling endorsements.
I understand that.
That makes sense.
I get that.
Okay. That's fine.
Affects games. I'm telling you, the first thing these guys need to do,
dude, like,
whatever,
July,
show children. Some guy owns like every dealership in Texas.
Yeah. He's like, my Hummer. You know? You need a Hummer?
Yeah. You show up at every single one of them. We'll give you 20 grand appearance. Sign autographs for an hour.
I mean, the boosters now are going to have
the
field.
The booster will be part of their the recruiting process. And oh, by the way, we have Lou Merlone Chevrolet.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Lou Merlone is going to give you a Chevy Tahoe.
Yes.
And here's the contract. And if you sign and you send in your facts, you're going to get a Tahoe.
Some kid will own more dealerships than John Elway did.
It's just not going to happen that way. I mean,
they'll be
so easy.
Curious
now.
To see where just sport and basketball, football, where they're at in 4 or 5 years.
Well, how many times do you think this will go back to the courts and probably back to the Supreme Court? Because you're right, there are no specifics here. It's still really loose language as to what is acceptable and what's not. And the NCAA is going to fight every single bit of it. They're going to fight it. But I do laugh, though, because they are such hypocrites. And right now they're faced with a real issue here. Yep, it is. It is pretty funny.
Speaking of money.
Cameo.
So last night, first time we saw the umpires, they were embarrassed to do it, to go out on the field last night to be able to check players.
A lot of smiling going on.
Yeah, wasn't it? It was interesting. Can I check your hat, sir? So we'll see how it went last night for the first night of baseball. We're going to find out when the Red Sox play tonight. We'll do that. Jeff Goodman joins us coming up in the bottom of the hour.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Follow the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI.
There's not a stupid question, there's not a bad idea, and go.
Now back to OMF.
Today is the first day of increased scrutiny for pitchers as far as sticky substances on their person. They have said that they're not going to delay play. They're going to inspect pitchers as they come off the mound between innings or at the end of their stints. So they check DeGrom's hat. They say they want to check his belt. He said, "Do you want me to take it off?" They said no. They check under the belt, and now he has passed inspection.
Jeez, thank God they didn't go that far. I mean, he took it a lot better than I would have taken it. I mean, 11 straight perfect innings for DeGrom, and he becomes the first pitcher in baseball to be checked as he leaves on the field.
Hey, he's pretty good. I think they could switch his arm the other side, and he would still be pretty damn good. He's good. But last night was the first night we saw it, and as Lou said, they were laughing. There was mostly like nervous laughter. You got to check my cap. And nothing happened. Nothing happened. The umpires were embarrassed. Let's get this over with. That's right. 2 weeks from now, we'll all go back to the
drop your pants and cough. It's like getting a physical. And then it's like, all right, you know it's coming.
Yep.
You know it's going to be a little awkward.
Yep.
Let's get this over with. All right, cough. Okay, good. You're good. Pull them up. That's so, really what it was, right?
Yeah, it was. And I like the fact that they did it, like for the most part, I should say. Like, DeGrom was there. All these guys, they throw the first inning, then walking off the field is when they checked them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Thinking, okay, we'll walk you off the field. We'll spend 30 seconds here. Meanwhile, the other pitcher's getting on the mound. He's throwing, so we're not losing any time. But I think it was the closer for the Braves. They actually checked before he threw a pitch. And I'm like, oh, really? Is this what we're going to do? Like, why not just random checks at the end of the inning? Don't do it before they pitch.
Yeah.
This has such a short shelf life. Like this whole some guys are, okay, so it's June. Do you think that they're going to, unless they're mandated to check, like unless they say, listen, hey guys, it's like pass interference calls. Like in the beginning of the season, you know, there's a lot of them. By the end of the season, there's like, there's none. And the Super Bowl, there's none. Like nobody wants to sit there and be that guy. So they're going to go through the motions. That's what I think. Unless, you know, Major League Baseball is saying you have to check at least three times.
Well, to me, it's like, you know, if you check the starter after the first inning and then you have the ability to check him again in the fourth or fifth. I mean, that's the only way to do it. You know, when relievers come out of the game, you don't, maybe you don't check the first guy that comes out of the pen. The second guy that comes out of the pen, you check him. Maybe you don't check the closer. You check a closer?
Yeah, but why not?
The game's over. Everyone's shaking hands. Hold on.
Yes.
Why are you shaking? Hold on. Barnes, come here. Well, I'm shaking hands. The game's over. Dirty Water's playing. You hear Dirty Water? I don't care. Give me the glove. Give me the. Yeah, but we're shaking hands.
Is there a quota? Like, what are you... Is there like a quota, like a police officer for tickets?
Speeding tickets?
Is there a quota? Do the umps? Do they tell the umps you have to check at least twice? Because this whole debate we had about, okay, they don't want to do it. So they're going to say you have to check at least twice. At least two pitchers. Okay, you know, maybe not all of them, but at least two.
So if we go 2, 3, maybe 4 weeks, and they do this inspection continuously during these games, and they don't find a single person, a single pitcher out there who's violating it, what do we do from that point? Do we continue to do it every single game for the rest of the year? Is that what they're going to do?
I think they do. I do. The umpires are going to sit there and say, at the end of the first inning, what's the big deal? This is what we're doing the rest of the year. You know, and you know, you can't get too predictable. Can't just say, we're going to check them at the end of the first, and that's it, right? I think you got to have the ability to check them again in the fourth, the fifth, maybe the third, whatever you want, sixth, do it that way. But, I mean, I thought it was interesting. Last night, we saw that game last night because it was obviously Padres-Dodgers, and I was watching it. Darvish was dealing. He went 6 innings, struck out 11. You, Darvish. His fastball was down 182. His cutter was down 154, and his slider was down 267.
So you're saying he was doing something.
And he struck out 11 in 6 innings. You know, so it's like, oh, well, okay, maybe this is what they're looking for. Hey, guys, just get mentally, get it out of your dome. Stop using. Darvish obviously stopped using, you know, because those numbers reflect it. Numbers reflect something happened. Numbers are way down. Okay, 6 innings, 11 punchouts against the Dodgers. All right, go out there and just pitch. And let's see how this thing goes for a few weeks. But I do think they keep doing it. I think they keep doing it.
This time, it's going to work.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Yeah, this time we mean it. This time we're going to go not just go through the motions, we're actually going to commit to it.
So there's a
I'm not buying it.
There's a company that claims that they can do it with a machine now, with the mud that they put on the ball, that they can give them all of the tactile they need to get a grip on it without in any way affecting the spin rate. So maybe Major League Baseball does that. Maybe we get to the point where Major League Baseball says, all right, we're gonna give the pitchers something so that they can grip and hold on to the ball. We just don't want to raise the spin rate. Because you are going to get, this is a scientific experiment. Lou just ran down Yu Darvish's numbers with the spin rate. We're going to get a scientific experiment over the next 4 weeks. We can compare it to what we saw in the previous 4 weeks, and you can come to a conclusion here. It's very easy.
Science.
I tell you what makes it interesting for me. Is that the deadline is what, a month away, month and a half away?
Trading deadline, yeah.
What pitcher do you want?
Ooh.
Like, you know what I mean?
DeGrom,
like,
I'll take DeGrom.
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying, like, we really like this guy. He's had a really good year. He's throwing the ball real well. Yeah, but, you know, in the last 2 or 3 weeks, you know, since that sticky stuff, he's got a 70 ERA. You know what I mean?
Like, stay away from that guy.
Oh, I'm just saying, I think that's playing a huge role in teams that are looking for starting pitchers that need to now sit there and evaluate who they were looking at and watch them the next 2 or 3 weeks and say, you know, we're not interested in them. Let's say you're a crappy team and you got Garrett Richards out there spinning the baseball. Also, the next 3 weeks, he's got an 80 ERA. You interested in Garrett Richards? No, because you're going to keep it up. So as far as like who you want to add for starting pitchers or relievers, all of a sudden now it becomes like, okay, now we need to go look at him again. Because, you know, we don't know who the hell this guy is. We don't know who the hell we're trading for. Which one is it? Is the guy that was in May or is the guy that's in the end of June and he can't use sticky stuff anymore?
Well, if you are looking at a guy that all of his numbers go down, and I'm not talking about the spin rate numbers. I'm talking about his pitching production numbers go down in the month of June and in July. I'm staying clear of him because it's telling me he can't do it without the
stuff. You got to match it with the spin rate, though. You know, if you like a guy and he's just struggling, it's the same spin rate. You know, he's just not throwing the ball well, but you think you can figure him out, that's different. But, you know, if a guy's dropping 300 RPMs and he was good back then but not isn't anymore, I'm not so sure you're interested in trading for him anymore.
So we'll find out tonight with the Red Sox. They will hit the C-Rod tonight. So out on the mound, you'll get a little inspection, and we'll see how it goes with the Red Sox.
What's
going
on?
I'm not worried about him either. No. Nothing. Nothing's going on. We were talking earlier about what happens to the Boston Celtics going forward. Jeff Goodman has been all over this coaching search and the situation surrounding Brad Stevens. We get to that with Jeff Goodman coming up next. All right, back here on OMF, Jeff Goodman from Stadium has been all over this Celtics stuff, especially the postmortems, all of the stuff with Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge, the coaching stuff, and there's a lot of questions we have for Jeff Goodman, and he joins us right now on the Harbor One Hotline. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
I'm good, guy. I still can't believe if you had told me like 2 years ago that Brad Stevens would not be coaching anywhere.
I know.
Like, think of how... I mean, again, I've known Brad forever. Like, I just can't believe Brad Stevens is not coaching basketball this year.
Yeah.
Jeff, let me ask you this, because I know you saw Jared Weiss's piece. And we don't, and I know one of the worst things you could say about a coach is that, like, they don't listen to him. They lost his team. But the more I see stuff about, like, some of these guys and some of the reports out now, you know, even it was Gordon Hayward saying, hey, you got to have a stronger voice with these guys. You know, some of the rumors of, like, COVID, that they weren't paying attention to protocols. You do sort of leave a feeling like it was time to move on. These guys just weren't responding to him at all. They weren't listening to him.
Lou, you're right. I mean, like, I think it had just run its course.
Yeah.
Ultimately, I think Brad Stevens is a great coach, but I think part of it, honestly, he's not going to be a guy that jumps people. That's just not him. That's never going to be him. He could try to go that route a little bit, but it's not real. So what he needed was a staff who had a guy or two like that. And he didn't have that either. You know, Jerome Allen wasn't that. Jay Larinaga is not that. Like, so I think he had the wrong staff for him. And part of it was, let's face it, guys, like, he came into the league, he didn't know who to hire. You know, the only guy he kind of knew, he brought in Micah Shrewsbury, who left, you know, and he was the nicest human being in the world. He left to become an assistant back in college and now is a head coach at Penn State. So I think Brad had the wrong staff around him. To be, and the other crazy part, guys, it's not like he was coaching Russell Westbrook or Rondo for that long. Like, he had a pretty good – it's hard not to get along great with Kemba. Now, I don't think it was nearly as bad as what people think it was between Brad and Kemba, from what I've been told. It was the frustration more than anything with Kemba that he wasn't able to get on the floor, and he wasn't himself. And he was frustrated. Brad was frustrated because he didn't know – how to, you know, if he could count on Kemba, and obviously he couldn't because Kemba didn't play in the two most important games of the season this year. So I think it was more frustration. Those are two of the best human beings I've ever met covering basketball at every level and every other sport. So you can't begin to tell me that those guys were like hating each other. That's just not their personality.
No, and I think we would have heard if there were loud voices going back and forth in the locker room or at practice, and we didn't hear any of that, Jeff. But you also know it's a players' league right now, and that is unfortunate, I think, for a guy like Brad, who is a terrific coach, but players are going to sit there and say, you never played in the league. What the hell are you talking about? Especially when things don't go well. So the relationship with Kemba, could it be that he was harder on Kemba because he needed him to play defense? You needed your point guard to go out there and play some defense.
Yeah. And Kemba was atrocious defensively. I mean, there's no other way of saying it. Like, he wasn't good, whether it was the knees or the fact that he is small and the fact that he put up numbers in Charlotte, you know, for a team that wasn't really winning a whole lot of games. Again, nobody's going to be a bigger Kemba fan than me. Nobody's a bigger Brad Stevens fan than me. You needed to make a change. I said it before the end of the year, and I hated saying it, but it's true. You needed to make a change. I don't know if this is the change I would have made. And my biggest concern with Brad Stevens, the general manager, is he too nice? Mm-hmm. Is he going to be able to fleece somebody and get off the phone and start celebrating that he took somebody for every – like, would he be able to do what Danny Ainge was able to do over the years?
You know, just give us two first-round picks. I don't want to take too much from you. We don't want three.
You know, I want to
give us two. We'll be happy.
It needs to be a win-win situation.
Exactly.
Jeff, just looking ahead. So, do you know anything about the relationship that exists or the friendship that exists between Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum? Like, are those guys buddies?
I do. No, they're not buddies. No. They like each other, but they don't hang out off the court. And honestly, they don't hang out off the court. And I don't want to say it's clear watching them on the court, because there are plenty of guys. Hey, Glenn knows this better than anybody. Did Larry Bird and Kevin McHale, were they buddies?
No.
No, but they were, man, great on the court. Like they were buddies on the court.
And that's my point. I would say maybe if you have one of the two, you're fine. Ultimately, just looking to the future here, I just feel like this is a relationship. Like, something's got to give. It may be one of them or both of them in the end before too long. What do you think?
It's why I have said over and over and over, and people criticize me and crucify me for saying it, but trade Jaylen Brown for Bradley Beal if you can. Because what we do know is the chemistry, and we'll see it. You'll see it in the Olympics between Tatum and Brad Beal. Like, that's Tatum's, like, older brother. They're so tight, and I think Bradley Beal is also a player who's a high IQ player in terms of his decision-making. If you put the ball and let play through Bradley Beal and he has players around him, he can average 7 assists a game. I'm fully convinced of that. I've watched him play enough over the years. I don't think that's Jaylen Brown. He doesn't make people better. And when he and Tatum go on the court, it looks like they've never played basketball together before.
Yeah. And now, see, here's my concern, okay? Because now we're talking about Jason Tatum going to the Olympics. Everyone's like, now he's got to be a recruiter, right? You're talking about maybe a Bradley Beal.
Yeah.
My thing is that he's young. He's being recruited. He is not the recruiter. And I think to me, he seems like a guy that can be seduced. All-star games, you know, Olympics, all World Cup teams. Seriously, all NBA. Durant's talking crazy about him, how much he loves him. And I just feel like they're sitting there saying, hey, Tatum, you know, now, rather than me come to you, in 2 years, you're going to come with me. So to me, it's almost like this is the guy that I believe in 2 or 3 years is going to want to be going somewhere else. And because of that, I wouldn't get rid of Jaylen.
But that's why I bring in Beal.
To keep him.
I think you have a better shot of keeping Tatum if he's happy and he's playing with somebody that makes his life a little bit easier. And obviously, listen, the number one thing, guys, is you can't go in with a point guard duo of Marcus Smart and Peyton Pritchard. You can't. You're not going anywhere. We know that. You're a seventh-place team again if you do that. So number one concern for Brad Stevens, figure out a way to upgrade the point guard situation now. I think you've got to trade Marcus Smart in order to do that. And I don't know what else. Again, everybody thinks Robert Williams is Bill Russell. I don't. Absolutely look at it. I don't think his value is high enough to necessarily trade Robert Williams. I think after next year, get him on the court consistently, then maybe his value goes up and you can move him. But to me, you better bring in a Kyle Lowry, a Lonzo Ball, and I know he's a restricted free agent. He's going to get $20 million or so. Without a good point guard, you got no shot. Zero.
So we started the show today, Jeff, by talking specifically about that there are a lot of people that are sitting back and they're saying, you got Tatum, you got Brown, you got something to build on. There's no building in the NBA. You turn a team around, you get a 2 or 3 year window, and then they move on to somewhere else and play with other friends. So what do you have to do here? And I think you're onto something. You've got to decide what your most valuable commodity is. That turns out to be Tatum, and you've got to bring somebody in that will play and wants to play along with Tatum and then go from there. I almost think you have to do that, because if you go sideways over the next couple of years and look at the Eastern Conference and you're seeing Atlanta and the Knicks and other teams, Chicago's going to get better, and you're saying to yourself, 2 years from now, Tatum is going to say, I want out.
100%. 100. And he's not the type. He's not. Like Jason Tatum is like the nicest kid in the world. And as Lou said,
They're all nice. He's impressionable.
Yeah. That's the problem when you send him out to these different events. I never thought of that, Lou, but you're right. He's more likely to be seduced than do the seducing. That's just not his personality.
Isn't Durant sort of sitting there saying, listen, you know how I think about you. This is what I did. I went to Golden State, then I went to Brooklyn. That's what you got to do, kid. Forget about Beal coming to you. You and Beal go somewhere else. Like, do you think Jason Tatum's really sitting there saying, Bradley, you want to come with us? I like our future. Or you think Beal's sitting there saying, I'm going to choose my team, Jason. You come with me in 2 years.
Well, I think Tatum's saying, hey, I just got a big deal. And you know what? You know, if I can win here, let's try it here, especially with a new head coach, which I think it's going to be one of Chauncey Billups or this Ime Udoka guy from the Nets, the assistant head coach, who has gotten rave reviews. And he's coached Marcus Smart, he's coached Tatum, he's coached Jaylen Brown in 2019 in the World Championships. Yep. And he's got an edge to him. He's kind of even-keeled, but he's got an edge to him, defensive-minded. I spoke to somebody for a while last night who's coached with him. and was very impressed with him and thinks he could do a really good job kind of connecting. That's what they need.
Was it Kenny Mack?
They need a connector. It's not Kenny. Kenny Mack would have those dudes out partying. You know that, Lou. He'd have them all over whatever spot it is now. I'm too old for
that's
that.
That's my college buddy. He's a coach, yeah.
Yeah.
So
he Jeff
can't bring Kenny Mack in.
I was like, so what's your take on Marcus Smart, his role with the team, what needs to happen with him? Because ultimately, like, for me, I'm like, this guy's is as much as he brings to a team, I also feel like he's also kind of a problem.
Well, he's so frustrating at times, right?
Like, drives me
the
nuts.
The defense is awesome, but I blame Brad too for allowing Marcus Smart to shoot 52 three-pointers a game,
yeah,
which is, it feels like he shoots, right?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I know he only averages like six. It feels like he just launches every three imaginable, whether it's contested, not contested, whether he's 6 for 6, whether he's 0 for 9, it doesn't matter. Why? I said it. We had Brad on a podcast I do with Bob Ryan, and I said to Brad, like, if Bob was on the team, would you give him the green light shooting threes too? And he sort of like laughed, but like, I'm serious. Like, this dude lets everybody shoot threes. And if you have the personnel to do that, that's fine. If you've got Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, go ahead, give them the green light whenever you want. But if you've got Marcus Smart and Daniel Tice and you've had, you know, Al Horford, like, why are you turning all these dudes? I understand the analytics say a three is a much better shot than a contested two, but I just watched Devin Booker the other night, guys. I got to say, those contests, they weren't even contested twos necessarily. Those look pretty good. I'd rather have Devin Booker or even Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, taking it to the basket.
Yep.
To the basket rather than just jack threes all the time.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you talked about a point guard, and the only fear I have with a point guard, and you just brought it up with Marcus Smart, he's not a great shooter in the outside, and he likes to shoot. He's not looking at alternatives of giving the ball up, going without the ball, and then getting the ball back. So you just saw it with Ben Simmons. You get into a 7-game series, and a team can really break you down. So you get fooled sometimes, don't you, Jeff, during the regular season? Because you can sit there and say, we can get away with a guy that can't shoot, and he distributes the ball. You get into a 7-game series, and they're sitting there going, it changes everything. It's all matchups.
Yeah, it's a different game. The playoffs, we've seen it. It's a completely different game. They can take a guy like Ben Simmons. I mean, look at even Giannis. And I think Milwaukee's going to win it all. But even with Giannis, it's like, well, it makes it that much harder because you can't put the ball in his hands at the end of the game. It's got to go. Luckily, they have a guy in Chris Middleton that can make free throws and make shots, and he's a good secondary guy. But, yeah, I think that's what I like Lonzo Ball, guys. I like Lonzo Ball for this team because I think he makes Tatum and Brown exponentially better right out of the gates. And you guys know, I'm not a LeVar Ball fan. I had to go to Lithuania with him for 10 days. I don't want him in Boston, but I want Lonzo in Boston because he plays the game the right way. He's an elite-level passer. He's a really good defender. And, oh, by the way, he shot about 38% from three over the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a big Lonzo Ball guy. That would be my priority because I think if you put Lonzo with Tatum and Jaylen Brown and even Robert Williams, right, like, think of the lobs. I've already seen it with Zion. You could do the same types of things with Robert Williams. I think those four, I get it. You don't then have an elite-level shooter. You've got to hope Aaron Nesmith is kind of that guy and put him in the corner. And to be honest, like, he's going to get plenty of open shots with Lonzo, with Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And if Robert Williams can somehow stay on the court, then I think that's my priority. My priority is not – again, Evan Fournier, it'd be great to have him back in Boston at $15 million, but not at the expense of not getting a really good point guard. So to me, I would look to move Marcus Smart. I would try to get a frontline point guard. And Lonzo's, what, 24?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's still young.
Well, I do remember that. You were part of the Ball family there for
right.
a while.
Traveling part of the traveling the circus.
I remember that. Wow.
It was a circus.
Yeah,
it
so wait, why is LeVar is so quiet now? You don't ever hear. Do you think the son said, listen, you gotta be quiet? Where is he at now?
Listen, I take all the blame for LeVar. I put that dude. Yeah, no. I was the first idiot to interview him at a high school event in Springfield. I interviewed him when all three of the Ball brothers were playing in the high school event in Springfield Hall of Fame. And halfway, somebody said, like, you got to, you know, this dude up there, that's the ball's, you know, father. So halfway through the interview, I literally gave him the microphone. I'm like, you don't need me. And he, listen, in small doses, guys, he's incredibly entertaining and yeah. fun to be around. But 10 days in Lithuania,
hell no. Jeez.
Hey, Jeff, I wanted to ask you, get your thoughts real quick, too, on this Supreme Court ruling. I don't know if you agree. Paul yeah. Feinbaum, on Get Up said that there could be the end of the NCAA. What were your thoughts on it?
The beginning of the end. Yeah. Not the end, but the beginning of the end.
Why?
Yes.
Why?
Well, I just think, listen, I think with everything that is starting to happen now, the NCAA is trying to put up these, you know, these guardrails on name, image, likeness. I think it's just going to take somebody to come in and say, like, all right, all you schools, we don't need the NCAA. You don't need them. We're going to start this other event or whatever. You don't need the NCAA. I just think they're digging themselves deeper and deeper, and nobody's been able, you know, part of it is, listen, the tournament, the contract, right? The CBS Turner contract is worth so much money, and it's still another, what, 10, 15 years out. That's the hardest part. If that weren't the case, I think we'd be done with the NCAA. I think somehow all the big schools would break off because of the NCAA tournament.
So, Jeff, I had somebody tell me that Brad Stevens was not at all interested in the Indiana job or going back to the college game. He wanted to stay in the pro game at the time, stay in coaching in the pro game. Does yeah. this ruling with the Supreme Court yesterday, do you believe that there already is a fear of coaches out there of being in the college game, that it's changed so much and the pro is so much easier to coach? Do you think that more and more guys are going to leave the college game now?
Hell yeah. Yeah, yeah. Like, I've talked to plenty of people who have talked to Brad Stevens lately, because Brad's now a GM, so he's preparing for the draft, talking to college guys, and they all tell him, all tell Brad, you're out of your mind if you think about coming back to college now. Like, do not do it. Because, again, you've got to deal now with kids. Think about, like, the small things you've got to deal with in the locker room, right? Like, one kid making more money than another kid. That kid's pissed off because he's having a better year, but he's not making as much money.
It's pro problems.
You know, there's just... Yeah, exactly. Like,
it's pro problems.
Pro problems. It's
at,
why
at an immature age.
So yeah. does that create like a wild, wild west in NCAA? We keep talking about all these loopholes and they can do this and do that. It's just, it's going to be a little chaotic, isn't it? These schools are going to be paying some of these kids, finding ways to do it.
Lou, I got a great idea for you. Yeah. I got a great idea. Empty your pockets. Yep. You got deep pockets now. Empty your pockets.
Yep.
Go to Ed Cooley. Go to Ed Cooley and tell him that you are willing. You're willing to take some of your salary and you want to get the best dude. You want to get Amani Bates.
Paid internship right here at EEI.
Call Cooley and tell him you want Amani Bates. Amani Bates is the number one player in the country for next year.
Yep.
And you're going to give him, like, you're going to throw into the fund, like, another, what can you throw? How much you think you got?
The problem is, I'm pretty sure there's someone down at UT, that down in Texas, that's probably got deeper pockets, Goody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No doubt. You're not at their level yet. But, you know, maybe all you and, I don't know who else, Ryan Gomes.
But that's what it turns into, right? That's what it turns into. Yeah. This is what we're going to see.
It's illegal right now. So they say you can't do that with recruiting inducements right now, that you're not allowed to. But come on, like, NCAA, how are you going to make sure that you know, the best friend of Ed Cooley at Providence, who owns 10 car dealerships, doesn't tell Cooley, hey, when this kid gets on campus, I'm going to pay him $1 million. He's going to do 10 commercials for me.
Yep. Right. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's going to be a joke.
This is the booster's dream. This is laundering booster's money right now. With
I can now get involved legally.
Yeah. That's right. No, it's going to be a you-know-what show. I won't say the word on here, but okay. You know what it is. And that's why Roy Williams retired when he did. And Coach K can deny it all he wants because he's 75, turning 75. He was going to retire anyway in a year probably. Mm. But if he had any thought of going another year, people were telling him, you're out of your mind, because college basketball and college athletics, as we've known it, and maybe for the better, is going to be a thing of the past.
Krzyzewski's getting out at the right time. You want to pronounce that name?
Krzyzewski.
He has trouble pronouncing that name.
Thanks, Goody.
Thanks, man.
Jeff, it's always great. Always great talking to you. Have a good one. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
See you later. Jeff Goodman of Stadium. This hour has been brought to you by East Coast metal roofing. Oh, the Patriot fans are all up in arms. I don't know if you've seen
What happened?
The Patriots apparently fell way down in the rankings of another poll that is out there. We'll get to it. Yep.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.